This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Well. I am not Luis J. Gomez, although I am mostly known for my impression of him. Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. I'm Dave Smith filling in. I'm here with the gang. Zach Amico, Chris Scopo, Chris Tinkle,
hey.
Matty Jester Skulls. What's going on, boys?
How you doing, Davey?
Good, man. So Luis is out in L.A.
Mm-hmm. Just living that life.
And he asked me to come fill in. I would say because I'm the only one who's capable, but I think it's more likely that I'm the only one who takes Luis's phone calls.
I could be the only one who answers him.
Anyway, Luis is out there doing big things, doing Joey Diaz's podcast and meeting with agents and probably getting too good for all of you guys. So anyway, he'll be back next week.
Yeah, he'll be back. Yeah.
We have a fun.
Yep, he'll be back and humbled next week. Yeah.
He'll be back, and somehow his career will be worse off than when he left.
I'd say once you do like 3 or 4 sets of the Comedy Store, and every guy you got to follow is like, and this guy's a comic, and he also works here. Once you hear that a little bit, you kind of like brings you down back to earth.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it is a beautiful day out. God damn.
75 right now.
75, and this is before noon.
Yeah.
It's going to get hot.
It's 80 today, I think.
Yeah.
In other words, there's a lot of titties out there, gentlemen.
It really is.
Yeah, I almost got into a couple car accidents this week so far.
Remember that old Seinfeld? But everything about Seinfeld just came to life. But when girls would be in the bra and you crash your car. It is amazing when it first happens in New York. Because I think people in L.A. and in other places where it's warm the whole time, they don't get that. Girls are just slutty the whole year around. Yeah. But when it's cold and then there's like the first few warm days, there's this energy from girls like, whoo! First time I get, especially
titties
like,
can come out
because had the outfit planned.
Oh, yeah. It's been
bought the outfit in October and couldn't wear it.
Has it been planned? It's been planned like a harvest. they've been mowing that shit. I don't know how a harvest works.
Like, fucking last year, it was like the first day. It was like this where I got off the subway and then like the first girl I saw was wearing this fucking little tank top, no bra, just titties like almost like she had ice cubes, and she just waited until they were perky enough and walked out the door.
Beautiful.
That's the first thing I saw, and I was like, tried not to follow her, like, you know.
Isn't it amazing? You know who it's really all for is the chick who's got kind of a whatever face, but her body's just ridiculous.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you see that girl in the summer, and you're like, you see that girl in the winter, you're like, out of the way, waste of space.
She goes from a 6 to an 8.5 very quickly.
Oh, literally in one day. Like, she has to check the weather.
Yeah.
When they're wrong, and they're like, oh, it's going to be 70 and sunny, and they're like, it turns out it's raining. She has to go cry for the rest of the time.
Keep that fucking scarf
I was in
tight.
Washington Square Park the other day, and it was just titties galore. Everyone was wearing like sports bras, but they were outside running and stuff. Oh, so nice.
This is how I know I'm a piece of shit. I had to walk through Midtown the other day, and I went 3 blocks out of my way to walk by FIT.
that is a good point, but I mean, if you're just realizing that's why you're a piece of shit, Zach, we have hours and hours of backlogged podcasting on you. There's a lot going on there. But yeah, dude, I was walking a couple days ago, beautiful day, and I was walking by Columbus Circle, and there's like right on 59th Street, it's kind of, whatever that area is, the wind is just crazy, and I saw a girl's skirt blow up away, and then saw another girl's skirt blow up, and then I went, well, I'm just going to sit down here and hang on the benches for another 15 minutes, because I found the golden spot, so.
You know what? That's God saying you're welcome.
Yeah, it is. I did something right.
I want to work on this joke I was looking at yesterday. My notebook and...
You cut back to 3 hours later, and I still have written down, think of a funny premise.
Sunglasses are a key, too, because you can kind of stare with sunglasses on. With no sunglasses, you're creepy.
Yeah.
If you keep staring.
If you want to look at girls' asses or maybe murder someone, sunglasses are the way to go. No one knows if you're looking in their eyes. Anyway, what are we doing, Maddie? Am I fucking up somehow already? Okay. Anyway.
I just imagine Luis in L.A. trying to yell at Maddie right now.
Yeah, Lewis sent me a bunch of notes and stuff like that of what to do. I think he's already furious. Enough with the banter, Dave!
I know,
to my notes!
I'm looking at my notes and I don't see titties anywhere!
Dude, I love how much people do the Lewis voice. Let me tell you something. You know who came up with the Lewis voice? Justin Silver. He's not even
Justin Silver's contribution to comedy.
But it really has affected everybody. It's permeated throughout the comedy scene. This guy left comedy, moved to the West Coast,
plays with dogs,
training dogs, and living in some beautiful house, banging hot chicks right now. And it was so contagious that everybody who hangs around Lewis has to start doing it. You can't fucking fight it. It's we all do. We all dream in the Lewis voice. But anyway, I miss you, buddy. Hope you're having fun out there in California. I was nervous because people were tweeting at me. I was doing Legion of Skanks while he was doing Joey Diaz's podcast, and people were tweeting that Lewis ate way too many edibles.
I guess it was a joke.
No, he didn't eat any. Oh. He like pretended to take a tiny bite of one. So I guess it was a joke. But I was like, oh, fuck. Lewis fell off the wagon.
Yeah. Are you still on the wagon?
I am on it.
Oh, you thought you
won. I'm on that wagon going strong. No, it's not even that I thought I won. This is how weak a person I am. It was 420 and my birthday. And they're like, Lewis is eating a ton of edibles. And right away in my mind, I was like, then I guess I can just smoke too.
Yeah,
it's not even about winning. It's just any excuse to jump off this wagon. You know,
do you guys have like a thing going? Like a little a contest?
No, it's no competition. It's more just me being inspired by Lewis. And then he said he was going to do it. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to do it with you, dude. But it's like, you know, when you think about, if you think about being on a wagon and jumping off, almost in your mind, you think about being on like a fast wagon, and it's kind of scary to jump off. But it's nothing like that. The wagon's moving at 1 mile per hour, and there's mattresses.
Just step off the wagon.
Yeah, it's so easy. It's just a cushiony ride.
You can jump and not fall.
You can actually go wee.
I've actually fallen off the wagon, and my leg was still like attached, and I got my face dragged for a few months.
You hit a rock,
and that's why he looks like that. Now.
There you go. Thanks.
Oh. Well, anyway. All right, let's get into, I guess, some of the stuff that Lewis...
So how do you feel really fast for being, like, totally, like, clear-headed?
I think it's great. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, I get... The biggest problem is, like, if anything frustrating happens, anything at all... I mean, when Maddie gave me the computer and the computer was moving kind of slow, I want to punch
just
the
give
fucking
me
wall.
Fucking weed. Now.
It's incredible how much just this... tension in your chest. You're like, motherfucker, why is this computer moving slow? And then 2 minutes later it started working
but what
normal,
do you,
just like Maddie said it would.
What are you doing to like get a release? Do you work out at it? Or?
Yeah, I've been working out a little bit. Okay, probably helps. Not as much as I should. Honestly, I've been eating a lot better and just, I don't know, focusing a lot more, working a lot harder on career stuff and shit like that, which is good, which is the main reason why I wanted to do it, because that's what I need to do.
And then, like, as soon as you see any kind of progress, it also keeps you, like, motivated, too. You're like, oh, shit, if I just do the stuff I'm supposed to be doing, stuff happens.
Yeah.
Like, positive shit happens.
Oh, dude, I'm a big believer in that, and it's really hard to do, but and not to sound goofy or spiritual to anyone, but I look, if you do the right things... in this world,
yes,
the universe gives you the right things back. It's been proven over and over
that
in my
secret
life.
Shit's real. It's real,
very true. And if you already know what you're supposed to do, and it's very hard to do it, but if you do it, you're gonna get back more of the good things that you want to have. And look, I was talking to Annie Letterman, and the way she said, we were talking about just being sober, and the way she said it just really stuck with me. But she was just like, she goes, oh, so you're sober? Like, how long have you been completely sober for? Blah, blah, blah. We're talking about it. And she goes, yeah, being sober, it's just the fucking best. She goes, it's the fucking best. And she was almost describing it like the way you describe drugs.
Yeah.
Like the way I talk about like getting high or the way. But she's right. It's like, if you can do it, it really is the fucking best. It's the best to be clear-headed and sharp. But
I actually have a funny story about me acting like an asshole to her. Because like, she was sober, I was sober. So when I first... moved here, we kind of became kind of pals. We talked about being sober, and then I didn't see her for a while, and I had fallen off the wagon, and I just ran into her one night. I was somewhere, and it was like one of those nights, like 10 shots, 8 beers, just fucking retarded, like by myself, stumbling. And I see her. She's like, hey, Chris. And I'm like, yeah. With like me going hello, she could tell I was wasted. And she's like, oh, no, are you okay? I'm like,
but to be fair, you go, hello, fat tits.
Well, that would have been a lie, but I'm all, and I'm like, I remember I was like, hey, what's up? She's like, oh, my God, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. She's like, are you wasted? I'm like, maybe. I was trying to be funny. She's like,
you're not my mom. I miss my brother.
She goes, why don't you text me tomorrow? And I go, I'm good. I was trying to be funny, and it just came across like the biggest asshole, and her look was so, I felt so bad. And then from then on, she's like strange to me because I'm like, I'm all right.
Yeah, if you guys
trying to be funny, but I was drunk.
If you want to watch Chris fall off the wagon in real time, I think Old Hammer Fisting has you like episode to episode where you're like, dude, I'm clean, and then the next episode you're sitting there just like chugging fucking whiskey.
Dude, Lewis, I remember, so
fuck
brutal.
You, Lewis. Oh, I'll fight you right now.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I remember one time I fucking set up John Fitch on the show, and I got a hold of him, and then I don't remember him being on the show, and he called me later on to say something, and I didn't remember. He was even on. I remember like getting up and like fucking yelling at Lewis about something.
And at the time, this guy was top five ranked.
Yeah.
This wasn't fucking around with John Fitch now.
Right? Yeah. It wasn't like World Series of Fighting Champion. It was.
Speaking of Hammer Fisting, that podcast has been brought back
by yourself. Yeah.
Ricky Bones. How's
it's
that
kind
going?
Of a story. It's good. So far, we're batting one for two in terms of getting them done.
Okay.
We had some technical
difficulties.
That's
the Hall of Fame. It's a Hall of Famer right there. All right.
We had some technical difficulties, but we're going to be back strong. It was the worst thing. So, like, because it was the day of the Connery shit broke. So, I actually wrote stuff down and I was getting, and we were all, like, just amped. And then it was like, it was one of those things where, like, dude, stand for the podcast. So, like, no one's talking.
Right.
And it's like 9:10, it's not working. 9:20, no one's talking. It's like 9:45.
I guess we don't need to save it for the podcast.
Yeah, can we just have a conversation now? Because my head's going to explode.
Well, we'll do a hammer fisting segment. I see right here on my notes that Lewis sent me. We'll do a hammer fisting segment later on in this one. But it is, I'm happy the podcast is back. That is the first podcast I ever did. First time I ever recorded a podcast. All because Lewis was encouraging me to.
Yeah.
And I could not have, I will forever be humble to Lewis for this. I could not have had less belief in it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? We're gonna sit down and record a conversation? What do you think? We're Joe Rogan?
Yes.
No one gives a fuck. Literally, cut to 7 years later, it's all I've gotten any success for is podcasting. Literally nothing
else.
What's
funny is I was actually opening up for BJ in California, and like he did our podcast that we did, and he's like, yeah, my friends out there, they have this you know, you guys should meet up, or like you guys should be, so small world, dude.
It all comes full circle. All right, jumping into the topics given to us by Luis J. Gomez. All right, number one. Yeah, this is how we're going to run them off. We're going to do all of them in the next minute. Number one, some bullshit. Two, more bullshit. Lewis is a fag.
That's how I got Connor.
Hammer fisting segment. All right, so what do you guys know about libertarianism? Let me tell you. It's basically the belief that government is the initiator of force. All right, China died, and it was completely overshadowed by the death of some other musician. I don't remember his name.
King, right?
Yeah. Son of King, I think, something like that. I don't know. Who would you bring back if you could, China or Prince?
I'm gonna go.
I don't know if Lewis scribbled these down on a napkin.
No, so
5 minutes
so I think before. Lewis wants us to like talk about the first part, and then we talk about Prince, and then we segue into, hey guys, like who would you like?
Who would you want to bring back?
If you could only bring back one,
we should do it backwards.
China's death, by the way, I know this is an angle people are trying to go. China's death didn't get overshadowed by Prince dying. China's death would have gotten overshadowed by like the stock market going up 10 points the next day. Yeah. No one gives a shit about China's death.
She was kind of bad for her because she got fucked in the WWF. She got fucked out of that, and now she died. She's like, oh, I'll have my day.
She also got
and
fucked by Prince. X-Pac on tape.
Yeah,
she's gotten fucked a lot,
and a bunch of dudes in a ring.
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy Pistol.
Oh, Jesus. She was a.
Her clit is probably bigger than Matt's dick.
I mean, it's.
Her
it's,
clit was gross.
It's up there. It's
you don't
brutal.
Have to speculate. I can tell you it is.
China, I mean, she was.
The mortician's going to have to chop it off the barrier, like when they chop off a tall guy's feet.
We only had one size gasket. What are we going to do? She was. You guys watch wrestling a little bit, right? She was kind of a pioneer for women. There have been women in wrestling for a while, and no one ever really did what she did, which was she was kind of the cyborg.
Steroids.
Yeah, remember when she first changed?
Kind of was a cyborg.
And she had got a crazy into the jaw, and then like all that surgery, and she kind of looked like
down.
A girl.
Yeah. They shaved her down into a woman.
They really did.
She flexed. I was like, oh, what is that?
Her thing used to be like she would come in there and just, she was Triple H's manager, and she would just come fuck guys up while, you know, the ref wasn't looking or whatever.
And that was a bit, I think the big thing for her was she was the first woman that guys sold for.
Yes.
And I remember in Mick Foley's
Jericho
book,
lost to her.
Yeah, Jericho lost a lot of people.
Like fair and square, yeah.
Foley talked about in his book that was difficult at first. Because Foley like let her like slam the worst injury Foley ever had in the ring was she slammed the cage door on his head and fucked up his nerves.
And this is a guy who's been, you know, like slept on a bed of barbed wire for 10 years.
And she fucked him up.
Now, what did she do? She slammed
the
cage door?
He was coming out of the cage.
I kind of vaguely remember
this. She slammed the door on his head and shoulder and ruined him.
And it was like
him.
The metal part, like that like pull part where it's all solid.
Him.
Yeah.
But I remember in his book him talking about them originally trying to get guys to sell for her, like her, you know, punching guys or doing moves. And Ahmed Johnson said, I ain't going to sell for no bitch. Ahmed Johnson.
And what's he doing now? Is he working pawn all-stars?
So
or?
The real hero here is that guy.
But yeah, so that she definitely was a big deal as far as that. She got too big for her britches. She thought she was going to be a movie star. I've read.
Have you looked at female movie stars before China?
Yeah. Well, she thought, because they were shopping around a Wonder Woman movie at the time, she thought she was going to get it.
We still want a Wonder Woman we could fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's when she pretty much left WWE, was to go be
didn't
Wonder Woman.
And also
didn't
that whole thing
with Triple H?
No, she left on her own accord. That didn't help.
Yeah.
That was also like a huge thing, too, is Triple H dumped her for Stephanie, and then that sent her on a spiral, like a sad spiral. And she never... You know how like you have that one friend who had like a girlfriend in high school and they broke up and he just never he like never bounced back in life?
Yeah, she really did overachieve with Triple H. Yeah. That is like, one good-looking dude.
And dude, he's a good guy,
I feel
man.
Like Triple H made a pros and cons look. He was like, "Okay, she's hotter, she owns the company, she's a multimillionaire. You're going to get gang fucked by my Degeneration X stable and die young. I'm going to go with this one
over here. Or I could fuck a billionaire's daughter. Let's see here.
I'm going to lean over her on this
and possibly control the company one day.
Yeah.
Now, dude, he fucked her before she had that surgery, though. He fucked her when she was a dude, pretty much.
Yeah.
What surgery did she have?
Everything.
On her face?
Her whole face. Oh,
if you look at her when she first... If you think China
her
was
head
unattractive...
Her head was a square.
Can you put some photos up when she first came? And
I mean,
it's... Thing?
You think it gets rough.
Really?
I mean, it was rough. It gets better, I should say.
Yeah, she got titties.
Yeah, look
then
at
she got
this shit
on.
Over there. The one, look at the one all the way on the left.
How do we turn this on?
I don't know.
I remember her like that now. Holy shit!
Yeah, she was. Look she was like.
Oh
yeah, look. I mean, rest
that's,
in peace.
Oh, that's straight man left side.
Damn. Okay, I hope the after rests in peace.
Yeah,
that before is fighting
that
demons.
Before died 25 years ago. Jesus.
All right. Anyway, listen, I did want to say just about the Prince thing.
And how mean, dude. They have a photo of Natalie Portman's hot ass right under her to just totally, like, this is what a real girl looks like.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus
She's
Christ.
The worst. I'd put anyone else's before picture against her after.
That girl with the backwards black hat looks better than China. Talking about me.
And her chin whiskers.
That chick next to Dave.
She had some big titties, too. Supple.
Fuck.
Supple breasts.
Fuck, I would rather fuck Zach now than before China. After China, it's a toss-up. Dead China? I would rather fuck current dead China than before China. All right, look, I did want to say about the Prince thing, and I will I'll disclaim this with two things. Number one, I think Prince was an incredibly talented musician, and I do have a soft spot for people like David Bowie and Prince, guys who are like pop stars who already sold a ton and then were still fearless and would go out and reinvent themselves and do crazy shit. But I do think comics' jobs in general is to call bullshit. And especially when it's a sensitive topic. And our job is to call bullshit on ourselves, too. And I got to say, I hate the fake giving a shit about a celebrity death.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. I hate everyone reacting like they lost their fucking mother.
Yeah.
Because some celebrity who, like, yeah, he could play every instrument. Okay. None of you were talking to me about Prince 2 days ago, okay? Even when he had the fucking... It's like, I don't know. He had a drug overdose almost definitely, right? Isn't that almost certainly
so.
What
no,
it
no,
is?
No, I don't think so.
Now.
I'm hearing a bunch of shit.
Are you telling me TMZ got something wrong? Is that what you're going to tell me?
I'm telling you a 57-year-old man who was notoriously over-sexualized died of flu-like symptoms.
Yeah, I've heard AIDS. I've heard
what?
That.
What?
Okay, I should be clear. I consider AIDS a drug. So
okay.
Now,
oh,
going
yeah.
back to
yeah,
this.
He was fucked
oh, yeah,
up
he
on
OD'd
AIDS.
Hard.
Yeah. Like hard. Like six hard ones.
I'm not even going to get into a political thing, but I just like it also just shows
thank
where the state of our news is, that they literally just go like, oh, Prince died? We're off for the day. No more news. It's like, oh, it's just Prince from now on. Like,
Purple
forget,
rain.
You know, the
Live
wars
in,
or anything like that. Oh, it's Prince. Just sitting there and listening to Brian Williams interview people about their experience with Prince for the whole day. Like, I don't know. I get bored of it.
Wasn't he kind of a dick?
I don't really
I think
know.
He was kind of crazy. Like, I remember Kevin Smith, because Kevin Smith tried to do a documentary on
that,
him, and he told a story about, like, he was at his mansion, his like estate, and Prince at like 3 a.m. was like, "I need a giraffe," and they were and his people were and his people were like trying basically drawing straws to be the one to be like, "We can't get you a giraffe. It's 3 a.m.
Like even, that's even Prince has limits.
Yeah, but yeah. Even those thoughts in your head, that's like you're so famous that you think that that could happen. That's yeah. how big he was.
And I love that we can't get you a giraffe. It's 3 a.m. If we wait till 10 when the giraffe store opens, Prince,
we can call the zoo.
We can go get it. But
well, look, dude, he is a musical genius. Or
and
he
a
was.
Big deal is him making his music cost money for real, not letting yeah. shit be free.
Oh yeah, but that look, I'm okay with that shit. And he was like. Always, he put a lot into his music, so if he wants to reap all the benefits of it, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm just saying, that type of genius that comes up with doing the weird-ass shit that Prince did, you know is just going to be a handful to deal with in life. Those people are never just completely well-adjusted, normal people. Whatever, dude. Even when I was watching the news and getting annoyed with like, oh my god, are we just doing Prince coverage? And then they'd cut to Purple Rain, and I was like, it's a good fucking song. Really good, I'm not arguing. Cream? The guy's incredible. Mm. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm genuinely emotionally hurt. And Lewis made a great Facebook post, literally probably one of my favorite Facebook posts of the year, a few weeks ago that I'm sure you guys talked about.
Was James in it?
When it no, it was absent James. But he's just talking about since when is the thing that comics do to just post something completely non-controversial as if it's controversial and get a whole bunch of likes for it for being like, racism's bad or something like that. And I just see so many comics doing that with the Prince thing. Like, just really upset to see Prince die, everyone liking it hard. Motherfucker, you don't care.
I don't trust any white person that's that upset over Prince.
Yeah.
If you're black, there's a good chance you grew up with it and I could see it. If you're white, I don't think I could care.
I don't trust any likes, dude. No, dude, I have okay. So on my birthday 1 year, I got a like from this girl. It was like 300 something, and it's all people. And once it hits like 100, you're like, this is horseshit. No one fucking. So this girl likes me. She puts a post my thing. Happy birthday, Chris. I see her on a subway. On an hour later, I smile. I kind of nod. She has no idea who I am.
Hmm. Well, look at that.
She just was like, yay, someone. I you know. Happy birthday to you.
Well,
like fucking whack.
What do we got?
I was playing some Purple Rain in the background.
Is that? I could barely even hear it.
What is this?
It's the beginning.
Yeah, it's the beginning of Purple Rain.
Oh, this is the intro.
I was feeling it.
Is this Purple Rain?
I don't know. I've never heard it before.
Oh, okay.
Can you get to the part where he's like,
Purple Rain.
He also was a fucking dope songwriter, dude.
That guy was a genius. I said to begin with, he was a musical genius. He played every instrument in the track. He was incredible. And he got better.
Out?
Yeah, he got better and better as he went on, like musically.
Yeah, he learned other instruments. That cover of Creep he did at Coachella was amazing.
Yeah, look, everyone I've ever spoken to who saw him live, I never did, but everyone who saw him live is like, dude, he put on a fucking incredible show.
I've heard that too,
his Super Bowl halftime thing was great.
He was the only one who made the Super Bowl not gay.
Yeah,
Prince. Prince made
the guy,
it like awesome.
The guy who single-handedly made the 80s gay.
Yeah.
Was the only one to not make the Super Bowl gay. Now look, okay, another question Lewis had for us is what celebrities have affected you who have died? I'm going to go out on a limb and say none. Celebrity deaths don't affect me. People in my life who die affect me.
No, the one that kind of affected me was Joan Rivers. I really like Joan Rivers.
I love Joan Rivers.
I like the fact that she didn't give a fuck and she was going to say what she wanted to say.
I completely agree with you. I like the fact that she didn't give a fuck. I think she was a hero for comedians. It affected me as much as some child in Central Africa that died. It's not someone I know. She was old. I don't know what to say. Am I being a dick here?
Are we
pretending that we care?
I was just kind of like, oh, we're never going to fucking hear from her again.
Sure.
That sucks.
Yeah,
that kind of sucks.
Robin Williams.
See, Robin Williams didn't really affect me.
See, it did because I thought about how much sadness must have been in his life. And now you always think about that when you see him in movies, how much pain he must have had to go through a life like that and still kill himself.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying with that, yeah.
You can't watch Mrs. Doubtfire now and think about him being sad.
I was more affected with Joan because I've heard the story by Robin Williams where he just steals fucking jokes from people. And I was like,
I don't respect him as a comic.
That's kind of a shit thing to do.
I never respected Robin Williams as a comic. He was an incredible dramatic actor. I'll tell you, I can get on board with more having a little bit of a feeling when someone... Like, look, when an artist is lost, when they're like... Look, Chris Farley to me, what sucked about it was you were like, he was in his fucking prime. Yeah. He had like a bunch more great movies that we got robbed of. So that sucks. When it's someone like Joan Rivers, Robin Williams, yeah, Heath Ledger's a good example of someone like that. They're just really still
Philip
making
Seymour
their
Hoffman
shit.
Fucked me up.
That sucked because he was so talented. And you're like, oh, just if someone gave him a little help, he could still be here.
Yeah, but I don't know. Someone gave him a help. I mean, the guy had a lot of help. He had millions of dollars. He had, you know, it's like fucking.
He could help himself, dude. It was, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's. Sucks like people's demons overtake them, but I'm not gonna fucking pretend that it's like a family member of mine got fucking killed. Well, people are on Facebook going like, I can't sleep, I can't eat, blah blah blah, Prince is dead, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Well, what it reminds, I always think about, okay, so you know how like, and this is something Jay kind of taught me, that he always says on stage you should be the sum of your flaws,
right?
And it's always funnier as a comic when you're the victim. So like, if I said to a girl in the audience, hey, come on stage and blow me, that's not really funny. If I said, hey, come on stage and pee on me, that's different because I'm the one getting degraded.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have all these people in comedy who want to be the victim, but they're not doing the be funny part.
Right.
So they're like, I was at a club and this guy hit on me and I was very uncomfortable. A bajillion likes because they told this harrowing story about what happened to
them. No,
which
but
comic
look,
was that?
I think
we know.
I think you're absolutely right, but that example isn't even being the victim, that example is more being the victim than being the loser in the story. You know, there's something about like the comedic instinct isn't to try to shame some guy who hit on you and didn't get it and be like, yeah, guys, this is how you talk to women. That's not comedy. That's literally just someone who has nothing to say, so they're filling it with feminist horseshit.
And by the way, and I like a lot of the people that do but it's just. Like it's something that really
infuriating.
The comedic take is to tell a story about you trying to hit on some guy and him not being
and
into
failing,
or hitting on some girl and going
or
going
even,
haywire.
Or doing even like,
that's funny, yeah.
Or even like these are the only kind of guys that hit on me. I will, you know, like find a spin on it that's funny because technically what we do is supposed to be making funny.
Yeah, well, look,
comics shouldn't be telling like hero stories.
No, 100%.
No one wants to hear like, and then what happened, Dave? You like beat his ass, and then you like stood on his carcass. And
nobody laughs at a comic when they say, "Yo, I just leveled the room." We all laugh. You comic comes back. I just fucking ate a dick.
Yeah,
everyone's like,
and that's the better story.
Yeah.
And by the way, we all have both. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a better story is when you come back.
There's
like,
nothing.
Dude, I ate a dick.
Yeah,
on this one.
That's why like, it's always funny. It's like when your friends are doing stand up and they're just bombing. So
it's just
fucking hilarious to watch.
I love it.
When they're leveling, they're like, all right, yeah, we know how he is.
Right.
Yeah,
no, yeah. I completely agree. Completely.
Any comic who puts a post like, I crushed, I killed. Like, this happened. And
they didn't
crush or kill. Oh, well, maybe they did, but shut the fuck up, dude.
Oh,
I wasn't there. I don't give a shit. Like,
it's the fucking worst, dude. And that's become, there's a whole industry. I'm not naming names on this, but you probably all know who I'm thinking of, too. But there's just this type of school of comic now who just uses Facebook to brag. And it's literally just the worst fucking brag. It's like, dude, just crushed the first round of my Just for Laughs audition. Like, who the fuck cares, dude?
Yeah.
Who cares? Like, it's just this, dude, I just fucking leveled auditioning for some club somewhere.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh, my
God.
Who's that for?
Did you get past
I'm past at Crackers in Indiana.
Yeah.
Now.
Like, dude.
It's like, who gives a fuck, dude?
If that's for your parents or for, like, your friends who have your back, then, like, send them a message separately.
Yeah. Really. Don't personally text my parents, hey, I just have something really good. They're like, oh, great for you. I'm going to put it online.
Yeah.
And they're like, who is this?
Yeah. is this Joseph?
Yeah, yeah.
Which one is this?
Who dis?
Unlike...
They just respond back like, no, Chris, we will not send you money. Like, I don't, oh, I'm sorry. We just assumed. That's what. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
Oh, no. I'd say. It was just one word.
All right. So other celebrity deaths affected you? And what do we got? Robin Williams, Seymour. Philip
Chris
Seymour.
Benoit.
Yeah, it's hard to watch a Chris Benoit match
for the
now.
First 8 hours. No, excuse me. For the first 3 hours until the news got out. I was crying, dude. I was very upset. But the one who got me that I stayed sad was Owen Hart. Because...
Yeah.
That,
he died
that next
in the
day,
show.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Face first on a fucking steel post, dude, 70 feet. But the next day is when they did that show where all the wrestlers were saying how good of a dude he was. And I just remember I was like sobbing uncontrollably. And my brother was away at college. He came back with his brand new girlfriend. And like, I hadn't seen him in like 6 months. He comes in my room and I'm just like hysterically crying. And that's how I meet his girlfriend. She's like, And I'm like, I just want, like if I
die, my
I
favorite wrestler died, and his girlfriend's like, I think it's all an act.
Yeah.
You're really
a nice man fell from the thing.
Well, I remember, like, I was upset because I was, no one had anything bad to say about him, and it wasn't fake. It was all like, and I just remember being like, man, if I go, I want to be talked to like that, where no one had any bad thing to say about
and the motherfucker about it was everybody was like, yeah, he was just wrestling a few more years because he was raising the money to have it for his family.
Yeah,
Tinkle, if he's you all go, about his family. You will be the second bullet point on my list of things to talk about on the podcast. and I'll go off on the same rant. I'll go, why are people pretending they give a shit about Chris Tinkle dying?
Yeah. I'll die, man. And then like Metallica will get into a plane wreck that day, and they'll all die, and then I'll be forgotten in 6 seconds.
All right, Lewis asks, if you could replace Prince's death with one other single-named celebrity,
Jesus Christ, you morose,
who would it be?
Lewis. Lewis J. Gomez.
Lewis is not only a one-named celebrity. Lewis is a multiple-named celebrity. Well, you know. Listen, let's be kind. I don't know. The only other one-named celebrity that's coming to my mind that I would think about would be on that level is Madonna.
Cher. Cher's pretty
big. Well, yeah, I guess. But yeah, Cher was big as well. To me, Madonna was the pop star of my childhood. Like, she just was. I guess MJ, but he's already dead. Mm-hmm. But Madonna was, like, I thought just revolutionized what it was to just be a fucking, you know, proud of yourself sex icon who also, I just loved her.
I mean, that can't be that hard to find out. Because most rappers just have one name.
Oh, yeah. I'd kill all of them.
Yeah. That's a good point, dude.
You got to go with Cisco. I mean, yeah. That down song? Come on.
Yeah, I take every one-named rapper out. And not even,
I mean, Cisco would be a great day of Facebook jokes.
Let me just say, I don't even want to replace these rappers with anybody else. I'm not looking to save anyone. Just kill all the one-named rappers
for me. And can we throw, like, Little John there, too? Because that's only one name, right? John.
Yeah, John.
He just describes himself as being
Little's just an adjective.
Bow Wow.
Fuck. Hey, so, like, Dave, like, who would be the death that would, like, shake you up? Is there any, like anyone who you're that big a fan of, comedy or, like, not family or friends, but is there any, like, you know, anyone that you're a big fan of that if they died, you'd be, like, shaken up?
I mean, it's not, I don't think shaken up is the right word. Like, there are people who I'd be upset that we lost their art. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone's in their prime still making shit, if Bill Burr died or something like that, it's like, but, like, I've met him once. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that's, like, a fucking, like, personal loss. No, there's a different, if there's someone I went to high school dying, there's a couple people I've known who I went to high school dying, that affect me way more than fucking Prince dying does, or someone like, or Joan Rivers or whoever. It's like, no, I knew this kid. We knew he was a drug addict at the time, and then he fucking killed himself. That sucks. Like,
I just saw my sixth grade class picture, and I was looking at all the people in it that were dead and thinking that.
Yeah, dude. Ooh, yeah, I got a few of my high school class. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. The other stuff I think is kind of, I think a lot of it's acting, man. It's people, like, pretending that they really give a shit to jump onto some, you know, emotional thing.
I'm going to go see Pearl Jam, like 3 times in the next week and a half. And if Eddie Vedder died, I would be very, very upset. I would be very sad. Because his music, because I remember, like, hearing songs at certain points in my life. I could tell you exactly where I was and what happened and what song it was. And that's, I mean, so he's one, and then...
Didn't they all really die after 10? Am I right?
Nah, all right. Really?
What the fuck did Pearl Jam ever make after that was any good?
You want me to, like, list them all?
No.
Well, because right, 10
now had, I really you're don't. Going down a rabbit hole right here.
10 and Versus had that thing where every song was great, and then after that, it's like every album had, like, 3 good songs.
I like that Rain Over Me cover. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. All right. Lewis.
Is he in the chat?
I'm having a tough time reading this next topic because I feel like Lewis was running to a train with one pant leg on, pulling the other one up while he came up with this topic.
We gotta read this now, Dave.
What's your favorite candy?
Lewis is on the West Coast. What are some other places you could live?
I'm not doing this part.
I mean, are you crazy?
No, let's go on strike, dude.
What
Fuck
are some
that.
Other
no.
places? Well, I really like to be by the country, and I don't know.
Or what other...
New York ruins you for every other place, man. And I hate New York the older I get. I hate this fucking city, but it ruins you for fucking
But you know, I don't want to live anywhere else.
It's like a fucking... New York is like a psychopath ex-girlfriend who gave you the best head ever.
Oh, she fucked the shit out of you.
You just...
And now she's
so
fucking
good.
Everybody else but you.
You just want a normal fucking chick, but at the same time, you get this normal chick. She's like mom, and she's this... And she's just, you know, nibbling on the top of your dick. She has no idea.
New York will put...
both thumbs up your ass.
I don't know. Yeah, and I don't know why. I didn't
and
even
not
think,
call you.
There's nothing New York won't do.
Yeah, I didn't even think I would like two thumbs up the ass, but then I got it. I loved it, and I don't know what the actual equivalent of that is—a 24-hour bodega. But it's, you know, those that bodega is the thumbs up my ass.
I mean, ordering.
I could never live somewhere that closed at 10.
Yeah, ordering food at 3 and getting it.
It really it's is like, fucking amazing, especially as a comic when you're on that lifestyle. Like you, when you go on the road, man, and Tinkle, you've been on the road a decent amount. I know I don't know how much you guys have, but it's a real problem, dude. Like if you don't eat before your shows, you get out of the show and you're like, I'm hungry, and people are like, ah, fuck. Well, there's one horrible pizza place fucking 60 miles this way, and there's one. I mean, there's nothing.
Do you have, like, anywhere to go out to get a beer? And they're like, ugh.
Or you're like, nah, is there
close
a Trader
at like 12:30?
Yeah,
a Trader Joe's around here. They're like, what? You're like, fuck.
Like, what'd you call my nephew Joe? Oh, I'm sorry.
Apples. Are there apples anywhere?
You gotta find a fucking gas station or something.
Like the move is like now a lot of the hotels have fridges. So like the first thing I do is I go to a store and I stock up on fucking fruit and like yogurts and I just put them. So that way I guarantee I'm going to have some shit.
You were more fun when you were drinking.
A lot more fun, dude. No, I kind of did the same thing when I drank actually.
Did you still eating good?
Yeah.
I'm trying to fucking eat better now that I'm not drinking.
I remember when I was 30, I realized that my metabolism was really bad, and if I drank the beer and ate the pizza like I was doing, I was just going right to my tummy and my ass. And I remember making a choice, like, okay, either
tummy
I'm not
or ass.
Drink, or
not both.
That's right.
It is for me, dude. It was really being hungover is when I would eat
hungover
the shittiest.
Hungover is the worst.
Because being hungover, you're never hungover and you're like, oh, okay, let me get a salad in me. And you know that weird feeling when you're hungover? Like, you're not... It's like you're like, the idea of food will make me puke, but I'm hungry, but I only want this one specific thing. And the thing I want would always just be something disgustingly greasy and like fucking just make the pain go away.
And you have to eat, though, also.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, that's the only thing. Right, yeah. Exactly. You have to eat to soak up the fucking poison. So it's the worst place you've ever been to. I've been to a lot of shitty places, but even great places, I feel like I can only do like that. That's what New York does. Is like if I'm somewhere where there's like a beautiful. You know, I was in Kansas City the other day, and I was staying in this really beautiful house. There's a beautiful like fucking woods in the back, and like a huge patio. There was a golf course out there, and I was like, this is amazing. But 4 days of that, and I would be. Like, yeah. I'm losing my fucking mind. I gotta go home. I've been to the Bahamas and just amazing places. And, like, literally by the third day, I'm like, I gotta go back to the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking...
My aunt and uncle live in Pennsylvania in the woods. And it's, like, going for, like, a day or two is nice because it's, like, fresh air and stuff. But, like, day four, you're like, I need civilization. I need people around me now.
Yeah. It starts to feel weird, dude.
I remember when I was home for, like, the holidays and my friends and I... Like, they wanted to get some beer or something, and I was like, yeah, let's go for a walk. I'll walk with you. And they were like, you're gonna do what? I'm like, I'm going to walk. They're like, dude, it's like 15-minute walk. I'm like, yeah, dude. They could not wrap their head around why I would walk. And they're like, dude, you're going to wake up the neighbors. I'm like, what the f-? I'm not stomping, motherfucker. I'm walking, dude. Like, it's like people don't, you know, in smaller places like that, they just drive everywhere, and they don't have
that. Literally everywhere.
You just get up and leave if you want to. Go for a walk.
No, absolutely, man. I will tell you the one thing I really like about being outside New York City is going to places where people have guns. I really am so jealous of people who just have a ton of guns. The guy I was hanging with in Kansas City, motherfucker had like fucking AR-15. Dude, if you're just holding an AR-15, these fucking...
feels powerful.
I mean, dude, some of the handguns that are like... It's like the handguns that are like... I forget what it is, but it's like they're classified
like
they're classified as like assault weapon handguns, those type. Oh, you just feel like such a fucking badass. Mm-hmm. I love it. And it's all a bunch of bullshit where people are like, well, you're going to end up accidentally killing someone. Like, no, you're fucking not. Mm-hmm. It's not going
to
happen.
You're more likely to use it on yourself.
Yeah,
like that's if you own a gun, you're like 60% more likely to use it on yourself.
Here's the problem,
else.
Right? Is that it's all bullshit numbers because they'll show that shit. But the truth is, in places that don't have guns, the suicide rates are no lower. In fact, a lot of the places that have really tight gun control, suicide rates are higher. If you're going to kill yourself, you're going to kill yourself. Yeah. You can do it with a gun or with any other means.
People
but
have showers.
But if you have a gun, people tend to use that if they're going to kill themselves.
It's easier to kill yourself.
Because it's right there. Yeah. So it's all bullshit. I'm not worried that I'm going to fall into a depression and shoot myself with this gun. They make it seem like your fucking kid's going to be like playing cowboys with it and fucking kill himself, which isn't going to fucking happen. But man, it just feels like... Look, Lewis was the biggest like anti-gun. I don't think anyone should own a gun. He shot one and he was like, it should be mandatory. Everyone has to own a gun.
It feels so good when you shoot a gun. It just, there's something about it.
It feels like you're like, I wish the government did become tyrannical.
Yeah,
it's also, I'd take them all down.
Like, it's also like, man, this is fucking awesome. Not everyone should be able to have one of these. like as soon as you kind of hold one, you feel how like it's so much power. You're like, yeah, this is not a. This
yeah,
is
but
a
here's the thing:
holding your baby feels great too. Not everybody should be able to have one of those either.
Right, but here's
we should
the
probably
thing.
Have to pass a test to have either of those things.
Well, look, here's the problem though, right? With both those things, sure, you're like, not everyone should be allowed to hold them. But as someone who's grown up in New York and been robbed at gunpoint multiple times. And as someone who's grown up in New York and seen Spanish neighborhoods, everyone who shouldn't have a gun or a baby already has a gun or a baby. There's no amount of laws you can write that are keeping guns and babies out of these people's
hands. They usually go together.
So you're saying like, if babies are illegal, only the criminals will have the babies.
Yeah. what I'm trying to say is babies don't kill people. Okay, people kill people. Listen, that's exactly right, though. It's you can't. There should probably, yes, in pure theory, not everyone should be allowed to have either. But in practice, you can't fucking stop people from having either. So let the good people have them too. That's all I'm saying. All right. Any other worst places, worst road gigs, worst places in general?
I did a cross country trip with this girl that I was with, and we stopped at some little. Dude, the middle of the country is complete horseshit, by the way. I can't believe they can't even vote, dude. We went someplace like Montana or somewhere like that, and I remember there was a gas station, and they were selling like old antique guns at the gas station. I remember being like, is that thing work? He's like, yeah. And I was like, no. All right. Like, there was no, like, you know, why are you selling a gun? It sounds, you know, I could buy it and just turn around and rob you right now. I could literally do a spin move and be like, give me all that money, fuck face. And my money back, actually.
That'd be the greatest.
Crazy.
That'd be the greatest way to rob someone. And like, damn it.
I'll take that gun, three bullets, a Snickers.
No problem.
Aquafina. Yeah, no, so that place is pretty.
I'll take that gun and then anything else I want.
Ohio is pretty garbage.
Maine really sucks.
But I was only there for
Maine blows.
I played baseball in Texas one time, and there was two places to go eat, and we went to the Olive Garden thinking it would be okay to eat the team. I ordered penne alla vodka, and they go, "What's that?" And I was like, "Okay, just give me spaghetti."
So it wasn't on their menu even.
I don't even know. I was just like, "Hey, you have penne alla vodka here?" They're like, "What's that?" I'm like, "You're Olive Garden. How the fuck do you
familiar with?
How do you not know? It's supposed to be Italian place.
You don't even know of it. That's not a good sign.
It was the fucking worst.
Yeah. Then you really want to like go back to the most simple Italian thing after that.
Oh yeah. I forgot who we played, but we was in the middle of fucking nowhere. It was a hotel, a gas station, and then two restaurants, and then 50 miles.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, there's, you know, it's like I really am a city person. Not to judge other areas, but that's like the best places I've been are always like I got to say I really love fucking I love Montreal. I love Toronto. Like those are fucking good cities.
You know where I loved?
Toronto's cool.
That fucking mall in Edmonton. Have you ever done that yet?
Yeah, Mall of America.
No.
I'm sorry. It's owned by the
West
same
Edmonton.
People. It's the comic strip. Is the
yeah.
club? Yeah.
That
I know
mall
what you're talking
is
about.
The like my favorite place I've ever been.
That is I had a really fun time at that gig, and yeah, that mall is fucking cool. I'm confusing it with the one in Minnesota in Minneapolis, but yeah, that's right. I have done that. That club. Was a lot more fun than the one in Minnesota. But yeah, it's a big-ass mall. I think that one's even bigger than the one
in
the Mall of America,
right? Yeah, it's the biggest
mall
in the world. It's temperature controlled. So it's like 67 all the time.
Oh, it's fat guy perfect.
Oh my God. Zach's just giving you his fucking fat guy mall stories.
There's three different movie complexes. Like,
dude, you can finally be a Hot Topic without sweating your balls off. You know, just like all you guys are looking for.
Hot dog on a stick on every floor. That's right.
Oh, shit. All right. I don't know if you guys heard, but Harriet Tubman is set to replace Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill.
It's only going to be worth $19.80 now because of how much they have to spend on ink.
I don't know.
You were waiting for that one. You had that one locked, stock and barrel.
I really thought you were going with a feminist 77 cents to the dollar reference, but you did it. You did
good old
one better.
Fashion racist.
Which, by the way, I don't know what the 77 cents to the dollar. I don't think black women during the time of slavery were making a lot less than 77 cents to the dollar. It was 0 cents on the dollar. Harriet Tubman, I'm pretty cool with this. I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts?
I couldn't care. It's like, whatever. Put him on the thing. I don't care. People are like getting outraged. How do you take Andrew Jackson off? It's like, whatever. Times have to change.
I'm pretty sure the only reason they didn't take Hamilton off the 10 was because of that musical.
Yeah, that's
that. No, I'm serious. They said that like there's a huge resurgence in interest in
Oh, yeah, that's the only reason why. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, that might be part of it. That's interesting. I didn't actually think about that angle. Andrew Jackson, I think, he's an interesting story.
He was a bad fucking guy.
Oh my God,
he was a bad guy.
Well,
he's
you're
the king of the racists,
sure. If you're going to hold him to modern standards of genocide, yeah, he was a bad guy. But at the time, that was completely acceptable. He was a badass motherfucker. Andrew Jackson is the most badass president who's ever lived. He used to duel, and his dueling strategy was he would just turn around and try to eat a couple of the bullets. Like, he would literally just go, like, just to intimidate the other guy before he even started firing off. He would be like, come and get me,
motherfucker.
Was he
like Tony Montana and Scarface?
Dude, he
was like the Diaz brothers of the 1800s.
Dude, he was. There were several assassination attempts on his life, several failed assassinations. One time, a guy's gun jammed, and he beat him half to death with a stick. After the guy's, they were like, look, if you go to shoot Andrew Jackson, you better kill Andrew Jackson, because he's going to fuck your shit up. He also abolished the central bank at the time. And yeah, committed genocide against some Native Americans. If you got to look at all the skeletons in the closet.
If you don't speak the language... Am I right?
My favorite thing was the people that were mad, and they were posting there was screenshots of people's Twitters that were like, only presidents should be on money. And then somebody just responded with a picture of 100.
Or dudes who like...
It's like, why are you getting so upset about it? Like, who cares? It's times are changing.
Yeah, Canada has geese on their money. Who gives a shit?
Fucking Prince died.
Go back to Prince on some money.
Yeah. Spread your sadness around.
I know people are like saying, it really is amazing. It, just like the Prince thing, I just don't even get how people care. I just don't. It's
I don't
like
care.
A fake
I don't care.
Like, well, maybe they should make like a different bill so we don't have to take Andrew Jackson. I just fucking put Harriet Tubman on if they want to.
Is it still worth $20?
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
If Frankenstein can be on a stamp, Harriet Tubman can be on a 20. I don't really give a shit.
It's the same cocksuckers who signed up for Yelp, dude.
And for these people who are like, I understand not liking modern day feminists. I hate them all too. I think all of their issues are fucking nonsense, bullshit issues, and they just want to like yell at men, and it's not like a real philosophy.
Men are evil.
But Harriet Tubman, that chick was a badass fucking chick. She's not like some feminist by mod. It's not like they put some fucking social justice warrior.
Yeah, she didn't write a blog about it.
She was trying to end slavery. Like,
yeah, she
fucking
saved a lot of people.
She was a badass. She was not. Yeah, exactly. It's not. So there's nothing like. I have no problem with that. That's what feminists should actually celebrate, is chicks like her.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem with the modern-day feminism. It makes you angry when you hear about this. You're like, wait a minute, why am I mad right now? This is kind of okay.
Yeah, she's a badass. She deserves to be up there. And yeah, you make a good point about Benjamin wasn't a president, and he fucking did a lot of, you know, had a lot of great shit back then. So why can't we put someone else who had a lot of great shit? Mm-hmm. And I do like the idea of it being someone not 20 years ago who accomplished something. It's kind of like a little bit in the past. So fine. I don't know about you guys, but I'm cool with this. If it makes feminists happy, you know, whatever will shut them up about dumb non-issues like microaggressions, let's celebrate feminist heroes who actually stood up against like slavery.
I don't know, pretty bad people.
Yeah.
Right. Is there anyone now who's like famous or in politics that you think will be on a bill like 100 years from now?
If things go good, Ron Paul. But if things go bad, he'll be erased from the...
What bill will that be?
It'll be like a fucking $10 million bill, because inflation's going to get pretty bad. But it's... I don't know. I think there's...
No, but I see what you mean about people celebrating like real here. Like, one thing I thought was really cool was a lot of people, like a lot of women went and put their I voted sticker on Susan B. Anthony's grave.
Right. Okay.
Which I think that's awesome.
Sure.
And that's a great way to celebrate somebody, and that's a great way to like... Be feminist without, you know, like you're saying, protesting microaggressions.
Yes, someone who actually fought for like equality under the law, for suffrage, for something that actually made sense, that was like, okay, Sure. I have no problem with that. The truth is, all those old goals, like I consider myself a libertarian, so all those old goals of feminism were really just libertarianism for women. Like, that's, it was just like, oh, they should have freedom too. This new shit is, you know, if a fucking, like, a woman makes less than a man because a woman chooses to go into nursing and a man chooses to go into fucking sanitation, it's like, okay, I don't know. Those things shouldn't necessarily be paid the same because one's different mm-hmm. than the other. Anyway. All right. We are racing through these topics, Lewis gave me. Okay, what's next? Hammer fisting segment. We have some
here's your
fucking music
for all things in the world of MMA. It's the Matty Jester Skulls Hammer Fisting segment of the day. Let's get it on!
All right, well, we have some Conor McGregor news, or as Lewis referred to it in the notes, it made me sick, Conor Gate.
I had this conversation with him, dude, to stop putting gate. Like he's part of the problem, dude.
Can I tell you, Janine Garofalo has a great joke about this, where she was like, she's like, everything's a gate when it's a scandal, and this is all because Nixon's thing happened at Watergate. And she goes, good thing it didn't happen at a Red Roof Inn. I just thought it's great.
It's funny.
Just everything has to be a Roof Inn.
All right, Conor Roof Inn.
Conor Roof Inn, everybody.
All right, so for anyone who doesn't know, Conor has been removed from the UFC 200 card due to a dispute between him and the UFC for not showing up to his media obligations. So I guess we'll go around the horn and see how everyone feels about that one.
Yeah, man. Look, we could talk about this for a little while because I'm a big MMA guy, so is Tinkle, and obviously you are, Maddie.
Yeah.
This is and Conor's a guy who's bigger than the sport. Right now, so that's a guy like everybody cares about Conor because he's one of the few guys like Ronda Rousey was before him, one of the few people ever in MMA who's transcended the sport, and this was going to be bar none the biggest fight in the history of MMA. I'm not even like speculating when I say that it's UFC 200. It's a rematch of what was the biggest fight in MMA history, numbers wise. Yeah. This was going to be the biggest fight ever, and it just got fucking pulled. And one of me and Tinkle's favorite fighters is Nate Diaz. What do you think, Chris?
Man, where to start, dude? I think they let that guy call his fucking shots too much. First of all, dude, the guy picked his own main event. Yep. He lost fair and square. He picked his own main event, which affected two other guys' fucking livelihood. Two guys who were waiting for a shot at his belt. He like, no, I don't want to fight. I want to fight this other guy. Dude, that entire main event was made to like help fix his ego because he lost and he got embarrassed because he talked all that shit. And now, so they're letting him do whatever he wants. He's running fucking roughshod. And now he's like, I don't want to go do this press tour because I need to practice so I don't lose again.
Yeah.
It's like, no, motherfucker. You can't, like, at a certain point, you got to cut him off, dude.
Here's what happened for anyone listening who's not a hardcore MMA fan, okay? There's this guy who's got a really crazy, awesome fighting style. Like, he's knocking people out. And he's the most charismatic shit talker ever.
Conor McGregor.
Then there's Conor McGregor. They morphed into one human being. But so he's running through guys at his division, 145 pounds, and he's talking so much shit that it's building him
all
up
that money
to this huge level. Mm-hmm. And then what happened was in one fight, he fights the champ who's been unbeaten for 10 years, the only 145-pound champ ever, and he knocked him out in one punch. So it got to a level where he was just like, was haloed, like he was bigger than the sport. And then he starts making these crazy demands, and people are like, okay, all right, whatever. He moves up to fight this other guy and gets beat down. Then, like what you said, Maddie, how did you feel about? I was actually way before any of this happened. It really bugged me when I heard Dana White talking, and he goes, look, you know, we went out to meet with Conor McGregor. All of us tried to convince him not to have a rematch with Nate Diaz. His team tried to convince him, but hey, Conor was just stuck on having this fight, and it's like. Wait, you're trying to convince him? Like, is he the fucking matchmaker now? Like, who, I don't know. That bugged me.
I don't know. You get to a certain level. How do you tell a guy who's made the company $800 million over the past
him.
8 fucking months?
Yeah, but you
we're still calling the shots.
Hold on here. You know what? That was a question. Let me answer your question. Dummy, you got destroyed. Okay, you're not fighting him again.
You're fucking...
Go defend your title.
Yeah, well,
negotiating power is now nil. You just lost. You're coming off a loss, dude. I can't...
is this a move by Conor? Because he's realizing if he were to go lose to Nate Diaz again, he's going to really lose his juice. So now he's got to try to get everything he can.
Because there's a big chance when he goes back to 145, he's going to fucking lose again, dude. Frankie Edgar, I guarantee you, beats him 99 out of 100 times.
I think he sleeps Frankie the same way fucking slept Jose.
I think you're high as fuck.
Maybe.
I don't know. Look, dude, he did knock out Jose. Jose Aldo's going to fight Frankie Edgar now.
It'll take longer.
I'm pretty excited to see that.
Frankie Edgar.
But look, this is a big, big blow for the UFC. They don't have a main event now for the UFC 200.
Which is their fuck up, I think. Because for a guy to say, oh, I don't want to do the Vegas presser, I don't want to do the... Yeah, he's going to do the New York presser, for sure. He said that one. More than likely the Stockton presser. He wants to miss, what, one or two fucking press conferences? Who cares if Conor's on like, one or two press conferences?
Nah, you're under contract. UFC, you gotta, you're getting paid 200. A lot of money to do this. You abide by the rules.
200 is going to be the biggest card of all time, regardless of who shows up at the press conference. Conor McGregor is the biggest fighter of all time, regardless of whether or not he shows up at the press conference. The only bummer of him not showing up to the press is I don't get to watch him at the press.
Dude, Conor McGregor's press conferences are a big part of the reason why Conor McGregor is Conor McGregor.
Yes.
Just being real, that's why he's making more money than any of these other guys have made, is because he promotes the shit out of his fucking fights. That's, look, and he's not making like a little bit more money than other guys have made.
Right.
He's making a ton. I don't know about this dude. I think it sets a real dangerous precedent for the UFC to just let fighters start fucking pushing them around on what part of their contract obligations they're going to fulfill.
But we're not talking about just any fighter. We're talking about Conor fucking
And he's getting compensated for
it. But he's saying, you know what? I'm bigger than the sport.
Yeah.
I can do what I want. And Dana White was like, no, you're not bigger than this sport.
I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't see what's wrong with
getting...
Because
you signed a contract.
Because, dude, he's coming off a loss, and he should be fighting for his belt. And he's like, no, I want to fight this dude. It's all ego.
Well, look, those are two different things,
though.
Two different things. They gave him the fight against Nate. And look, the one reason why I can't understand it is because the numbers for that fight were the biggest ever.
Yeah.
But that was the rematch will be big. I agree at the time. I didn't think it made sense. But just specifically, once that fight is signed, you're saying they should just let him not show up to one of the press conferences he agreed to. And then what happens when he doesn't want to show up to another one?
Well, here's the other thing. What's the win by saying he's not fighting on the card?
Here's what the win is, okay? They still have time to put another fight together now. If they start going forward and just accepting that he's not showing up to some of his obligations, and he doesn't show up to more, then you don't have time to put another fight together. They can't fuck around with this, dude. They got to make something huge happen.
They can make five fights that are bigger than that fight.
I don't think so.
What fights?
Dude, Jones and Cormier, they might do. But
no. I'm saying, dude, you fucking Jones wins. You make Jones versus Verdum. You for the fucking heavyweight. It's the light heavyweight champion stepping up against the heavyweight champion. You could tell this fucking story. I was a drug addict. I was hooked on weed. I like coke, and now I'm fucking buckled down, and I'm gonna try to. It's Conor's story, but he's not a prick fuck, and he's actually he may win.
Is Nate Diaz out of the fight now?
No. It's unclear.
You call George St. Pierre, you have him fight Anderson Silva at a catchweight, because him fighting for a belt is not as interesting at a catchweight. There's three or four fights like that.
But that's the level you got to go.
You call Brock Lesnar.
These aren't easy fights to make happen.
Please fight Fedor. Please. Like, there's a few that,
But it's got to be something like that, like what you're talking about. It's not going to be, you know, I saw someone.
Lesnar Cyborg. That's what I'm going
with. Now, that's
a pretty easy fight,
And a fucking dick measuring contest. Oh, that's close.
China versus Prince. I do think, like what you were saying, I was doing the countdown with Lewis, his Sirius show the other day. I was filling in for Bisbing, and I mean, someone I think asked, they said like Dustin Poirier said he'll step up and fight Nate, and it's like no.
Who
we're
cares?
Not doing fights like that. This is UFC 200. Yeah. It would have to be something like, look, Nate Diaz, Robbie Lawler for the title.
This is a non-title fight headlining UFC 200, so we got to keep that in mind. It's got to be a huge caliber fucking fight.
Yes, if it's going to be a non-title fight, it's got to be like GSP Anderson Silva, like Chris said.
That Diaz Lawler, because Lawler's a brawler, and Nate Diaz is actually take a lot of punches. That's something I would definitely watch.
And his brother beat him, and that would be for the title. That's a fight they could
have. Fucking Nick show up, dude. It's fucking weed. Who's to say he forgot? You show up and fucking challenge Lawler, dude. Let him fight.
They were talking about
I don't think he can.
Would the Diaz brothers fight each other?
No.
It's by 3 weeks.
I don't know.
Dude. Come on, it's fucking weed. Let him fucking 3 weeks.
Well, you're not arguing with me. You're arguing with the commissions. But yeah, he's still suspended, I believe.
Until August. God damn
so he can't. So it can't be Nick.
But is there a scenario where we're not bummed out that Conor's not fighting now?
I don't give a fuck, dude.
Really?
I don't care.
No, I am bummed out
dude,
at this
once
point.
Once I get hyped up for a fight and that thing falls out, nothing's gonna.
Can I tell you what I was really hyped up for? As much as the fight, I was really hyped up for the press conferences, man.
Yeah.
I was hyped up to see how Connor's gonna go talk shit to Nate now.
Yeah.
I mean, what's he gonna say, dude? Nate came off 10 days fucking notice. He was doing shots of Jose Cuervo in Cabo.
He jumped right in and fucking took his best shots.
Yeah,
he
just took everything.
And on the press tour, dude, he had. I mean, Connor has writers. Definitely has writers. He like fucking memorizes all of his shit. Nate just shows up high and throws a couple of fucking and steals the show, dude.
Dude, it was incredible. I've never seen Connor's been talking so much shit for so long. Then he finally loses. Yeah. I just wanted to see that guy now. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if something else is going on behind the scenes.
It's all money,
look,
dude.
Connor missing one event does seem a little strange to me for them to pull him off here. But look, dude, I think this guy was getting a little bit too big.
You think Connor did this on purpose? Maybe to say, maybe I don't want to, I make it last a little longer, and then I fight in New York.
I think if they would have said, here's $10 million, he would be right now at a Starbucks writing little jokes about
$10 million.
Nate Diaz. So, I mean, I'm saying it's about money.
It's fuck you, pay me.
You have to fucking, sometimes you got to fucking smack your kid in the hand and say, go to your fucking room, and there's no dinner. And if you want to eat dinner, come out later. It's
not when your kid's making you over $750 million.
There's other people who can make
this money
too, dude.
It's a year.
I get what you're saying. He's making him a lot of money.
Yeah, but also, if he loses, he's done.
Well, his juice is gone. Look,
yeah.
Here's the thing, dude. He is making them a ton of money.
So
no question. And once he knocked out Jose Aldo, and you're like, not only is he making a ton of money now, but he also just beat the best guy in the world. Okay, that's one thing.
Yep.
But now you're talking about fighting at 170, where he just lost to the fifth-ranked 155-pounder.
That
it's just not
nothing.
Justified for him to have this much juice anymore there, dude. It's not. He's not that like he's
I
not
I just don't
that
believe
dude.
In this like the same rules for everybody when it comes to certain
no,
things.
No, but that's the thing. You there's not the same rules for everybody. Yeah. This guy's going to make $10 million. There's other people.
Yeah.
There's people who have been champions for a long time who aren't clearing a million for a fight. He's
dude,
not
Misha,
fighting
Misha
by the same
won
rules.
The belt and got paid $50,000 that fight, dude.
Yeah.
Which one?
Well,
Tate.
Wait,
no, Tate. Yeah. I mean, she's only getting 50. She's a fucking champion.
Jose Aldo was that champion, was the champion of that weight class for years and years and years. Probably had his biggest payday getting knocked out in one punch just because he was fighting Conor McGregor. You know, look, it is what it is, and I'm with you. They shouldn't all get paid the same. People who want to watch should, you know, if that guy should get paid more if more people are buying pay-per-views.
Oh, no,
for
definitely. 100, yeah.
But I do think there's a certain point where the UFC has to put their foot down. And I think he might have pushed that point.
I just don't think it's one fucking press conference.
No,
when you still have New York.
Because you set up an agreement. You're going to do this amount of things, and you can't just back out of everything. You can't. You're breaking contract to begin with, and it shows. All right, what if he does win this one? I'm not doing any pressures the next one.
Well,
do we know for sure that he's contracted for those press conferences?
Yeah, he has to.
It has to be.
Yeah, they all have to.
Are we saying he has to be because we're assuming he has
to? No. Dana White specifically talked about it, and this is how he's pulling him out of the fight.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, he said, I'll do the one, but they wanted him to do, like, a whole thing. Like, I think the Ireland and the Stockton, they're doing all this whole thing.
Yeah, the whole world tour.
Look, it's also
when you're on the Yankees, you get a high and tight, and you wear a suit in public.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
what I'm saying.
Don Mattingly.
There's no facial hair. Little facial hair, and you wear suits, and you have to have your hair can't go below your.
Yeah. Remember that was the thing with Don Mattingly, and he was, by the way, the Yankees stunk at the time, and he was the MVP of the league. He was their best player, but he had like was growing his fucking little '80s mullet thing or whatever out, and they Steinbrenner flipped out and wouldn't let him do it, made him cut. It's always those funny things that in hindsight were badass or like. People offended people, and you look back at it now, and you're like, "That's
it's just a
it's like when people are like, Kiss was devil music,
yeah.
But you listen to it now, and they're like, rock and roll all night. Like, that's not even that bad.
I put the X in sex. That's not devil at all. It's kind of hot.
Is it funny that the Beatles were that at a certain point?
Yeah.
Like they were like this. They're rebel rousing the children with their mop haircuts and their songs about holding hands in public.
We all know that the devil rode around in a yellow submarine. Okay, that was his mode of transportation. So what did we learn here, everybody? Fuck Conor McGregor.
Look, Nate Diaz, 209.
I think they should have had Nate Diaz have a press conference with Beaker from the Muppets and just talk to him like he was Conor McGregor.
Did you see that? You see that awesome photo that Nate Diaz posted? It's like a poster. It says July 9th, UFC, and it says Diaz versus McGregor, and it's just a photo of fucking Nate Diaz on the poster. I think a fan made it for him, but it's so funny.
I did not, but I will say, I think Conor McGregor
and
may have called tried to call a bluff here.
Yes.
And he got called out.
He tried the whole, like,
he may have tried to bluff and got called out, I think is what I meant to say.
I can't tell you how many times I told my mom that I'm not gonna eat dinner. All right, go to bed. No, no, I'm kidding. I'm super hungry. And then, no, fuck you, go to bed. And then, yeah, that's what happened. He tried to call his bluff. And then he sent that fucking letter out that was like, it's your move. Like, dude, they can't as a company. The UFC is as big as they are because they have purposely never let one fighter get bigger than their company. That's how they've done it. Like Randy Couture's been fired. They fired John Fitz because he didn't want to sign his lifetime likeness, which I know a lot of people who would also do the same thing, be like, why do you want my lifetime likeness? Can't you just have 10 years? And they just fired him because they're like, if you don't play our game, fuck off. And they let this dude get to a point.
Yeah, now they're going to lose numbers for fucking UFC 200.
I don't think they're going to lose
now,
any numbers.
Now, Lewis just said in the...
I don't think they're going to lose any numbers.
Lewis just said in the chat that Khabib said that UFC offered him GSP at 200. Khabib Nurmagomedov, is he talking
Nurmagomedov?
About? Nurmagomedov?
That's the only Khabib that I know of.
That would be... See, this is the thing is porn. That... This is the thing is that GSP... It doesn't, to me, make any sense for him to come back and fight a guy who's, like, not either a champion or like, a top, top, huge name.
And who's a grappler like that.
To come back and fight a smaller grappler to prove he can out-grapple a smaller grappler just doesn't do it.
It's got to be Anderson Silva at 180 pounds.
GSP versus Anderson might be worth the price of admission.
Oh, so many guys
to make up for losing Conor.
Also, Matt, you also got to think, dude. Like, the other four cards on the main card are all main event fights. They're all main event fights. Frankie versus Aldo, fucking Kane versus Travis Brown, Misha versus the other... all the other fights
were
all...
talking about them until today.
Right, but the problem is that they're not huge draw fights.
Yeah, but I'm saying,
this is the problem. Look, Demetrius Johnson fighting an Olympic gold medalist, that's a huge fight, but no one really gives a shit about it.
They're huge fights
for
us.
So the thing for UFC 200, they got to get something... Look, dude, it's got to be the type of fights you were naming. It's John Jones fighting Fabricio Verdum, or Anderson GSP, or maybe Nate Diaz, Robbie Lawler, or maybe... It's got to be... Big, big fights like that. None of this, you know, bullshit that just to us is a really good fight.
Right.
It's got to be something that non-UFC fans care about.
Well, I mean, so I was saying, so this fight doesn't need, I mean, it has to be one of the fights I was saying, but the card's still going to be good.
It's going to be great for us, but they're going to lose the casual fan
GSP, Robbie Lawler, that would be another one. Someone in the chat said that would be good. Someone just asked if Lewis is, when is his fight? Canceled because Lewis did not make his press obligations.
And I can tell you what, that was not about money. That was about being scared. Dude, we watched a video of that guy. And
Lewis demanded $10 million. We were like, Lewis, no one's getting paid.
We watched some video of that guy that he was going to go against, this armbar, this motherfucker dude, really, really fast. And we're like, Lewis.
I don't think Lewis was a real ass dude.
Lewis is, let me tell you something about my good friend Lewis. Lewis just said GSP Robbie is rumored. Well, look, Lewis, I'll tell you, that's the type. He said heard from the inside, the inside of Michael Bisping's butthole. That is the type of fight that they need. That's the fight. Dave versus Kilstein fight coming up. I would reach out and ask him.
Wait,
but
do
he
you
blocked
have to fight
me.
Just him or Jamie Kilstein and the Agenda?
I would fight Jamie Kilstein, but I wouldn't want to trigger him. Look, I'm sorry. What were you saying, Chris?
I have no idea.
All right, we've the me versus Kilstein.
Oh, we're talking about Lewis, and you and I are actually going to be. Corner for that fight.
Lewis,
he said
Lewis
he
will
is that fight going down.
Kid. Yes, Lewis will fight this kid.
When is the
about
fight?
That. I'm a little worried.
Now, here's my. I mean, how many towels are you going to bring? First of all, I'm bringing six, one for each pocket. And I'm going to wait till the arm snaps, and then I'm going to throw it.
And then we'll throw
stop
them all
the fight
in.
Yeah after he's already fucking laying there shaking.
I can't wait to see this.
Just leave him in there like fucking Dos Santos.
My little friend Christian Reyes in SF, who's a fucking blue belt, he they were grappling on the floor in the living room for 15 minutes high as fuck. He tapped out Lewis at least 9 times.
Who is this?
My friend Christian Reyes, who's smaller than I mean, who's Maddie size.
Lewis, are you in the chat here? Did you get tapped out a whole bunch of times by one of Tinkle's friends?
At least 7.
Lewis, I've seen you get tapped out by Dave.
Well, yeah, I don't know why you said it like that. Why can't I be a badass who taps Lewis out? But yeah. You really think that? You just don't know me then? Oh, I don't know if you're talking to me, Lewis. Listen, I know Lewis very well. I know that Lewis at grappling, though. Okay, so what? I couldn't punch him in the face, is Lewis's argument.
Dude, Lewis is doing
Lewis tried to punch you in the face. I feel like it's just going to open up a bunch more submissions.
That's what
like,
I was telling
him. He's just going to raise up his hand and then get that caught.
Dude, he's acting like the casual fan now who's like, dude, I'll fucking fuck up any woman. Dude, Ronda Rousey can't get punched by it. But dude, he has that kind of mentality now.
Well, we've had that argument before, that fucking Rousey can't beat up men.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous. Dude.
I know.
Well, look, I mean,
and the guy argument is, but she hasn't been hit by a fucking man, and that's what Lewis is kind of doing now. It's like, dude, you're
do you really
ass.
Think there's no argument to that?
That Ronda she hasn't Rousey been hit by a man.
I don't think she's gonna. I don't.
No, I'm not saying I would beat Ronda Rousey.
If you made contact with her, yes, I don't think.
Dude,
be contact made.
Like Ronda Rousey got hit by a guy Lewis's size, yeah. I think that causes a lot of problems. Like I think the fight's probably
even
over
she would
at
admit
that,
that
point. Yeah, I don't know if she would admit that or not. Maybe. But like there is, I hate when people even speculate. This is what I hate, by the way. We live in such a fucking feminized, pussed up world. But I hate when people even speculate if they go, if you go, oh, I don't know if she could fight a man, and people will be like, oh, come on, it's Ronda Rousey, she'd destroy any. And then you're like, okay, then how come she fights in a division with only women? Yes, obviously there is an acknowledgement there that she can't fight men. Yeah. There are men who weigh what Ronda Rousey weighs who fight in MMA, and they would destroy her. Are you at it? Like, they hit at a different level.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't actually think, if they grappled, Ronda would fuck.
But I just don't think someone who's a trained fighter, I mean, I'm for like Lewis's example, that guy's a trained fighter. He knows.
Oh, yes, Lewis is going to get destroyed by this guy.
Atlanta punch,
obviously.
Dude.
We're talking about other things here.
Well, his whole thing was like, dude, if I just land it, as soon as I land a punch, it's over. It's like, you're not, that guy's not going to let you land a punch. As soon as they say, are you ready? That guy's going to be crouched down, ready to shoot a fucking single leg on him. And you and me are going to be in the corner offering advice like, just tap, bro. It's over.
And he's got to be training for this fucking fight, too.
He's like, not.
No, I'm saying the guy from the Gracie School, and this is the Gracie name behind it, so they're going to probably take it.
He doesn't have the Gracie name behind him. He's not, like, coming out with all of them holding his shoulders
It's still a fucking legit Henzo school. They don't want one of their guys.
No, sure, they don't want someone else
Puerto Rican
in
off the street.
But look, he is training for this. Oh, if he's a purple belt with these guys, he's always training.
Yeah, of course.
He paid for his, like, membership at Enzo Gracie's and his training. So you know what we should do? We should do a countdown video. Interview that dude. Oh. Interview fucking Lewis and do like a shit talking segment.
It is hilarious.
I'll do it.
Lewis's day
we
starts
do
off
conference.
With him burping his baby.
We should do a press conference.
Oh, of course.
Lewis
absolutely
this time,
we should.
Walking by liquor stores, realizing he can't drink.
He's making gang signs with one hand and making balloon animals with the other. Look, man.
Color in the rainbow.
I will give Lewis credit for this. Is that this is? I mean, look, we're all fucking excited for this. Lewis really is. He's just such a show. I mean, it really is incredible. Like he's like the Bert Kreischer
you do
of the
realize,
East Coast.
Yeah, he's on the West Coast right now doing the fucking hashtag symbol with his fingers.
I will only compliment Lewis if there's the width of a continent between us. but I feel comfortable doing it now. But he really is. He's like a Bert Kreischer type guy. That he's not just like a funny stand-up comedian. It's like bigger than that. He's just this fucking
he's getting to like a character.
Performance. Like, yeah, he's just and it is. I gotta say, I'm excited to see the fucking fight. And look, I'll tell for all you guys speculating that Lewis is like Lewis is gonna do this. I know Lewis. He'll go fight this guy. He's not.
Yeah,
you know, he won't.
You gotta
back
give
down
him credit
that.
For that. Yeah, he's gonna go fight,
dude. We're gonna be in his fucking corner, man. What kind of? What kind of advice are we going to give him?
I'm going to be... We're going to start in his corner, and I'm just going to start taking steps over, and by the end, I'm just going to be in this other guy's corner, just like when he wins. I'll be like, yeah, dude, great job.
You're
going
to get halfway there, it's going to be over.
Just like we trade, I'm going to have to sprint over.
You know what we should do? Instead of like the Gracie entrance with the hands on the shoulders, ours should be like a little Congo line with our hands on the hips.
No, Lewis got to come out to something good. He's got to have like a good theme song coming
his
out.
His song shouldn't be longer than the fight. Which is going to be difficult to me.
This is going to come out like Apollo Creed.
I mean, dude, I have a whole fucking...
Living in America.
I have a whole, like, Teddy Atlas speech ready for in between rounds, and it's not going to get in between rounds. Fuck! We should make it best, like, 2 out of 3.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, how long do you guys usually go? About an hour and a half?
Hour and a half, yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's move on to from MMA. That was a good MMA segment. I did enjoy that. Hammer Fisting. And I got to say, guys, go check out the fucking Hammer Fisting podcast. I'm really excited that that's back.
9 p.m.
And I'm excited that it's you and you and fucking Bones. I think you guys do... you both really fucking know MMA, which is important to me. That my baby is in good is in good hands. I can't, dude. It's so funny, man. Even like when we started Legion of Skanks, nobody listened. Nobody. I remember having episodes of Legion of Skanks where, I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like laughable numbers. Like maybe 100 people were listening to Legion of Skanks, and it's so weird. And when we started Hammer Fisting, it was fucking 10 people were listening, and you're sitting there when you don't have equipment and you don't have any of this shit, and you're just sitting there. I remember so much just not believing in it and being like, Lewis, this is stupid. Why are we wasting our time doing it? And it's such a weird thing as a comedian, right? Like as a stand-up, and all you guys know this, you'll go into you'll do a show for fucking 10 people, and it's like, whatever, man, there's 10 people there, go fucking rock it out for them, and if it's a good 10 people, it can be a fucking fun time. And then it's a weird thing to get to a point where you're doing podcasting where you're like, oh shit, like whatever this show is that we're doing right now, there's thousands and thousands of people listening to this. Have you ever done a fucking theater for thousands and thousands of people? I haven't. The biggest show I've ever done stand-up wise was probably around 1,000 people. For Attell. You've done some big ones for Bobby.
Yeah.
It's like, and that is a fucking feeling. You're like, holy shit, this is a show. Yeah. And now it's a point where it's just kind of casual to me that I'm going to do several podcasts every week in front of thousands and thousands of people. I mean, when it gets
you don't realize it though.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't, but you know, when you do realize it is what you look at, like the feedback online and shit like that. But well, to go do fucking Legion of Skanks is, you know, tens of fucking thousands of people, and it is, I do owe it all to fucking Lewis for somehow convincing me to keep doing it. Again, as soon as he's back in the state, I promise you I will stop with all these compliments. Anyway, so fuck that faggot. All right, moving on. This is a fun one. I don't know where Lewis got this from, but this is Disney princesses if they aged and what they would look like now. So can we pull some of these up? I only got a chance to look at the first one. So here is what's her name? Ariel.
Ariel from Ariel? Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way,
Maddie, can you bring that up on the screen by us?
Oh yeah,
and can you bring up the song also?
Is it on? There we go.
What song?
Nice.
Ariel, fucking Little Mermaid song.
Okay, can I tell you something before we go to the old picture? This is okay. When I was in, I believe it was summer camp, and I was young. I mean, I'm talking about young enough that there was still a nap time in this.
You're like 6, 7.
Young. But I was old enough to know that so they used to play music before nap time, and they would play the Little Mermaid soundtrack. And I was young enough that there was still nap time, but I was old enough to know that it wasn't very manly that I loved the Little Mermaid soundtrack.
It's a good song.
But I loved the Little Mermaid soundtrack. I used to try to get a mat right by the boombox because I love the songs. But you go, up where they walk, up where they talk, up where they sit.
It's my favorite Disney movie. It's a great movie.
Oh, come on, man. Just you got Thingamabobs?
I got plenty.
But who cares?
No big deal.
I want more. Oh my god, she's so beautiful. I just want to marry her. Okay, listen.
You know the difference between you guys and me is I could fucking rock the Ursula song so hard.
All right, now listen, I'm not going to lie. When I first looked at the picture, okay, so I looked at this before picture here, I was thinking they were going to have some real gross simulation of what she would look like today. Go to what Ursula, what's her name? Ursula?
Ariel.
Jesus Christ, that wasn't even close.
Let's see
what she looks like
today. The older chick?
Yeah, the older one. Just a fuckable older chick.
Banger.
She's 42?
Yeah.
Wait, how do we know she's 16 at the time?
Because that's how old she was in the movie.
Oh, well, okay, they said that?
Was she? And then she was fucking, like, getting all with the dude?
Yeah, I think she was 16.
Creepy. I saw this earlier. I was like, she was 16?
Fish don't live that long.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Oh, yeah, you gotta go by fish law. That's fucking... Yeah,
she's been elbowed a bank since she was 7.
I don't know. So I don't understand. What is this trying to display? That they're still like that they were hot as a kid and then they aged into attractive women?
Don't you see, Dave? It's clear as day.
All right, what other ones do we got?
Snow White.
Snow White.
Snow White.
She's gonna be like 100.
I was never really trying to bang Snow White, but let's see what she looks like now.
She's gotta look awful. Now.
Just the Crypt Keeper. Yeah! Oh Jesus! Oh,
fucking Snow White.
She looks like
She was 14 in 1937.
She looks like Barbara Bush.
Yeah. See, this is. Kids don't do drugs. Was that Reagan? I don't remember.
Girls are too young to be getting kissed by princes. This is fucking bizarre.
Just go.
Yeah, but in 1937, it was a different time, man. All right, what do we got here?
Oh boy.
Oh,
she's not smoking a cigarette with a big mole.
Oh, she's still fucking smoking.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Now she's just a.
She might be hotter back then, but now.
She's a
Mulan. She's only 33.
Is there a term for an Asian MILF?
Belle. Oh, come on, Belle. Come on, Belle. Yeah.
Belle's still
had a few hard
Belle
years.
From Beauty and the Beast.
She's just covered in beast scars.
Yeah. She looks good for...
She'll be claw marks all over her.
She's been fucked by a beast for like 20 years. That's not bad.
Oh, dude. Jasmine's got to be a dope. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Jasmine hasn't lost a fucking thing.
She's 38, yeah.
No, that's fucking... That's nice.
Sleeping Beauty? Oh. Well.
No, it's going to be rough.
By the way, I liked this one a lot when I was a kid, but this is a while ago, right?
It's going to be rough.
Oof.
That's not bad.
She's okay. She's still coloring her hair.
She could be a pundit on the shows Dave does on Fox.
Oh, I guess that was it.
She looks good on TV. She doesn't look so great up close.
That's less fun.
By the way, that is a whole different... Let me just say this and not say anything that gets me in too much trouble, but it is a whole different thing to see people on the news next to them, like me and you are next to each other right now, than to see them on screen all made up and stuff. You know, a lot of those...
Those makeup bars are pretty good.
They are good. They do some work. Anyway, all right. Before I ruin my budding political career. Okay.
Some of us may have seen somebody that on the TV show they work on, and it was horrifying. Somebody may have seen one of the characters on the TV show he works on in real life.
Oh,
Oh boy, okay. a rough 23.
All right, so now we're going to the segment? The Real Ask Questions. Is there some music for that? Yeah!
Give me a fucking answer! 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question!
All right, listen, I didn't really have a chance to look through all of these, so I'm just going to pick some at random. All right, Robert McCuhan writes, why is it acceptable in society to change your gender identity, but when a white girl wants to become black, it's wrong?
What?
Anyone want to jump on that one?
No.
There was that white girl... what's her name?
Dolezal,
who wanted to become black, and weirdly enough, I think a lot of them did defend her because otherwise it would kind of expose their other nonsense. Yeah, I don't know why one would be acceptable and the other isn't. I think that's a good example of why it's all fucking ridiculous. You don't look, dude. I'm all for not being a dick to someone, and you know, if someone wants to be called he instead of she, or wants to have surgery, and a doctor's willing to do it, fine. But yeah, none of us can pretend. There isn't science, and you aren't really born what you are. It's not like I don't just feel Jewish or white or whatever, or like a man. That's what I am. And, well, I don't feel like much
of a man.
You
just sound it, look it.
Yeah. That actually is a really good point. I think you just walked around telling everybody that you're actually black, and you were born a black man in a white man's body.
It's all fucking ridiculous.
I mean, there is gender dysphoria, which is a real thing.
What is gender dysphoria?
Gender dysphoria is a mental...
Oh, yes. No.
You can get diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and a therapist will say, yes, the chemicals your brain is producing are not the correct gender.
Okay. I would be curious to see if there's actual chemically testing. Look, there is a spectrum of chemicals that we all produce, and some people have higher or lower testosterone levels. But no, being male or female is a scientific fact. Men have a Y chromosome, women don't. Mm-hmm. There's no amount of, you know, thinking about it that can really change that. No matter how you feel, that's fine. You might feel like something else. I think it's a little... childish to insist that all of society has to take part in your delusion of feeling like you're a different gender, or the idea that gender is a social construct is scientifically disproven. They do these studies with chimps where they'll study baby chimps, and the men, the boys, want to play with, like, they give them gadgets and dolls, and the females go toward the dolls, and the boys go toward the fucking gadgets. It's like they haven't been socialized to believe that they're men and women. There's fucking different mm-hmm. shit. But you're right, there's a spectrum. If someone wants to fuck, you know, they identify as something else, fine. But I think Robert does raise an interesting point. Can you identify as black?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I mean, my ass does.
Yeah, that is correct. Your ass is. Two Live Crew video waiting to happen.
Okay. Fabian Rodriguez asks, did you kill Prince? No, I did not. Did any of you guys kill Prince?
I'm pleading the fifth.
All right. There you go. We have the right to not incriminate ourselves.
I question our think tank sometimes.
All right. Tyler Bosert writes, how come you didn't correct Joey Diaz when he kept calling you Louis Gomez on Church of What's Happening? I'm guessing out of respect, right?
This is Joey Diaz.
Yeah, because he's fucking Louis.
Yeah. Louis, you got to have a certain amount of Twitter followers before you can fuck up Louis's name as much as you want to.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Louis C.K. calls my roommate Louis Katz Louis. Guess what? Never corrected him.
Guess what? His name is Lewis
now. His name is fucking Lewis.
He went down to the DMV and had it legally changed. He made the rest of us wrong. Yeah, I don't know. Joey Diaz is fucking, you know, tripping his face off on acid the whole time. Forget if he's getting, like, the right letter in there, you just count it as a correct name.
He's been Lewis has been letting Michael Bisping call him Louise for, like, 3 months now.
All right, yeah.
Very true. Right.
I think Bisping got the name down at some point.
I think Bisping just, like, fucking does a jab to Lewis and like that. He's like, okay, you can call him whatever you want.
He should call him not champ.
I feel like if you're if Michael Bisping tries to fight you at this point, all you can do is just tell him his mouthpiece is out. Dude, your mouthpiece. Your mouthpiece. You check that.
If I land one shot on Michael Bisping, it's over.
All right. John Amato writes, can we stop saying bless you when people sneeze? I'm over it.
Just don't do it.
It does.
I mean, I say bless you. It's just polite.
I do say bless you too, but I gotta
say gesundheit.
It does seem a little old timey.
I don't say God bless you.
Why? Why do you say
I don't
bless
know.
You?
I think that's just too. I don't want to fucking put God in there. Just bless you.
I see. So you instead take the power of God unto yourself.
Yeah.
And you bless them. Bless you does sound like an old timey religious thing to say. We should almost come up. Gesundheit just sounds too Nazi-ish.
Scream at Jews on the sun. Gesundheit!
Zach does a Heil Hitler while he says. It does seem a little bit.
I mean, the whole point of it was that they thought evil spirits were jumping in your body when you were sneezing, and that's why they say that. So, I mean, once we know that's not going to happen now.
They were jumping into your body? If anything, wouldn't you be getting the evil spirits out of your body?
I think they thought that, like, once your eyes were closed and you were, like, sneezing, you were vulnerable for... That's where it came from.
I'm starting to think they didn't have a good understanding of science in the 1300s.
Sure. All I know is...
God bless you. She's a witch.
I never say it. It was just never... In my house, we just never did it, and I never said it. And my girlfriend has fucking ruined my balls every single day since we've dated, and now whenever she makes a noise...
Is she sneezing on them?
If she coughs, I say bless you. If she does any noise,
cough,
I say
bless you.
Yeah, and now I do it.
Pussy.
Oh no. Here's what happens. So I start doing this, and it's just to be an asshole.
Rough blowjobs are awkward.
Bless you. Yeah. If she makes that noise, bless you. And guess what? She doesn't ask me to do it anymore because I've ruined it for her, and now she's irritated. And so there you go.
Fair enough. All right. Randolph Holmes. Writes, did you bang Fight Nanny after you were on Punch? All right, these are all just questions for Lewis.
Yeah, he's not here, motherfuckers.
I don't think. Another, Bobby writes, whatever happened to the girl that punched you and went to jail for it? Again, I don't know. Lewis and her are very happy together. I think that's the story, more or less. The chick punched Lewis and then she went to jail for it. I don't even think Lewis knows. What happened?
Yeah, there wasn't like a second fight. You
know. The rematch was scheduled for UFC 200, but she didn't show up to the press conference. So
Luce is like, oh, she landed a shot. I want to prove that I could. Yeah, no.
Okay, here's a good one, which I can touch on a little bit. Bill Jordan writes, which addiction is harder to conquer, weed, booze, or food? Now, I never really had a food problem the way Lewis did, but I definitely had a booze. I've been trying to eat healthier, but I definitely, for me, I think this is different for all people, and then I'll let Chris, you could talk about this a little bit. For me, weed is by far the toughest one.
For me, like, it's booze.
Booze, to me, is like not, the fact that I'm quitting weed makes booze almost not even an issue, because I just want to fucking smoke
pot. You smoke pot, then drink. I would drink, then smoke pot.
Well, it's not even necessarily that order, but it's just always what my drug of choice was always.
Yeah, weed. I was like, I'd rather have a couple beers. Food, I cannot smoke weed. I cannot smoke weed.
None of them are. Look, it's all the same skill, if it makes sense. It's denying yourself the food, too. It's denying yourself the instant gratification for what you know in the long run you're going to prefer. So it's all kind of the same thing. And then it just falls into what. The thing with weed for me is I would like wake up, like, I want to smoke weed right now. I wouldn't start boozing right now. So that's, it's just a little bit different of a thing. I don't know. Were you a big pot guy?
I was whatever to not feel, dude. So I would like if I would be on a roll, then I would get up and start drinking in the morning. Like, you know, I didn't drink for like 6 years. And when I started again, it was like, I think 6 days later, I was walking around town with a bottle of vodka in my backpack and like buying Snapples every couple hours and like, just like sitting on the curb, like, it was fucking ridiculous.
I think yelling at the under cap of the Snapple. So, these are bullshit facts.
That's a good one,
Snapple,
man.
Snapple fact, you have a problem.
Snapple's a liar.
Yeah, here's a fact. Dude, you're not going to be able to get a job in this shape. There you go. There's a Snapple fact for you.
Snapple fact, you're failing at life.
No girl's going to like you right now. They're all kind of like, it's funny, is because weed is tricky, dude, because that's like one where weed's like, it makes your brain think. So you think a lot and you think really, really creative, interesting ideas. The problem with weed is it doesn't make you want to pick up a pen or pick up a phone to do the stuff that you're thinking about. So you can almost fool yourself into thinking like you had this productive day where you got all this shit and all you've done is think about, like, I made awesome movies in my head, like just high, like think of cool, but like it never. So I think with weed, that's a big thing, dude, is like, it kind of tricks people. And I think it's as addictive as all the other stuff. And alcohol, it can be like a physical thing. And food is very difficult because we need food to live, dude. So it's like, how is that? Like, you actually need that to live. So there's a line that people cross.
I just hate that there's always a new thing with food. Like, as soon as I think I'm doing the right thing, and then someone's like, oh, dude, what are you doing? You're eating cheese? You're crazy. You know, it's like something. There's always something like, oh, you have cream in your coffee? That's fucking horrible. And you're like, dude, what the fuck? Like, I just thought I was getting this down.
I would like to add a fourth. Pills are rough.
Yeah.
Pills are a rough quit because then your sleeping schedule gets fucked.
Yeah.
I never got into pills. I don't know.
I mean, I've done some pills.
I've done them.
I've never had a problem.
Never had a problem, yeah.
Pills, though, if it's something that you're like addicted to that was actually helping you at first, and then it crossed the line, and then you were just overdoing it, that's a hard. I mean,
well, pills are so bad. A lot. It's actually really rampant in NHL hockey. It's really bad. And, cocaine pills are so bad because they're getting hit constantly, so they just pop a painkiller to feel no pain.
Yeah, what happens, I think, is uppers and downers kind of lead into each other because you'll take, like, pain pills or downers to, like, sleep. Then you need a fucking upper to get up. Then you need, like, all. Look, dude, I think all this shit, maybe the pharmaceutical drugs are a little different, but when you're talking about weed or booze or junk food, shit like that, it's really all. There's lots of people who are just able to do them appropriately.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who is just kind of like, there's people who can kind of like smoke weed and not end up smoking all day long.
Name for those people. It's called fuck faces.
Oh, but you know what? I very fundamentally don't believe people like us should be able to ruin it for them. This is why I do think all this shit should be legal, or part of the reason why I think that. But it's just like, I just happen to be one of these people where, like, I really have a tough time doing things in moderation. I'm like an extremist, and I kind of have to. Once I've allowed my mind to the point of saying, like, okay, I can smoke a little bit of weed, then I'll start rationalizing why I can do it right now. I can do it today. I'll get this shit done tomorrow. I'll do this now. And so I just have to go the other extreme route. But it is, for me, just aside from which one is more difficult to quit, the easiest thing for me is to just go, I'm not fucking doing anything, and then get into that zone of, like, I'm being completely sober.
Yeah, because if you know, because once you start, like, you know, I'll just do this once. You don't know if you're that person who could do it once. Like I always say, like,
I think I know I'm not. Unfortunately,
like, is the other day I was talking to a friend who works at the sober place I do, and we were both saying if we could do one thing, it would be weed. And I remember saying, like, you know, I wish they would make a pill that would last for like 2 hours. I could take a pill, get high, watch a movie, and it just fucking snap, it's gone,
dude. That is,
and then I was like,
that is my ideal world.
Well, hold on, and then I go, wait,
everyone's ideal world.
I would just take another pill. As soon as that one went away, never mind. I know how.
No, I think if I could smoke weed and then snap my fingers and feel like I feel now, where I haven't smoked weed in a couple months, I would do it all the time. I would get high, then I'd snap my fingers and do this. The problem is
5 minutes later, you'd be like, I'm bored. I'm gonna get high again.
No, I would get some shit done. I would feel like this. I'd be great. The problem is that when you smoke weed and then you come out of it and you're like, oh, then it's almost like you got to smoke more weed. If I could do that, I think I would be able to make it work. But no one has come up with that yet. So, anyway, guys, I think we'll wrap there. Thanks for having me on your show, guys. Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks for
Lewis will be back next week. Follow everybody on Twitter. By the way, I didn't do any of the fucking plug shit I'm supposed to do, right? Go to iTunes.
God damn it, Dave.
Real Ass Podcast, a nice review. Go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Buy a t-shirt. You could buy a Part of the Problem t-shirt on there also.
Are we going around the horn? Because I need to know when to start the outro music.
Oh, is there outro music? Yeah, let's go ahead. Start that. We'll go around
the
horn.
We'll usually go around and then we end on you.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess we'll just do that. Let's go around the horn. And on me. Guys, what do we got to promote? Zach.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach is not funny. Snapchat me, Zach Amico. A lot of cool, real ass fans been adding me. You guys are the best. And no gigs. Fuck it.
I thought your thing was Zach Amico's dick.
Somebody corrected me. My name on Snapchat is Zach Amico's dick when you click on me, but my actual username is just Zach Amico.
Oh. I was like, dude, you're...
So I'm making up...
Go mainstream.
I'm making up for that with just more Snapchat nudity.
Oh, nice. Thank you. Check out our new Hammer Fisting, man. Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. It's live, and
original.
Yes.
If you're in New Hope, Pennsylvania, tonight and tomorrow, I'll be with Kevin Brennan, the Legion of Skanks enemy, at the Bucks County Playhouse. And then...
We love Neil Brennan's brother.
Yeah. And then Wednesday night, if you're in the New York City, come out, cold beer. It's at New York Comedy Club. Tickets are only $5 at the door. We're using the code word beer. It's a great lineup. We got Chris DeStefano is going to headline the show. So come on down and hang out.
All right. Sounds good, man. And follow all these guys. Also follow me on Twitter, Comic Dave Smith. I'll be in Detroit with your leader, your fearless leader, Louis J. Gomez, as well as Dan Soder at the Hustler Club. And then I'll be in Toronto on the 20th and 21st at the Underground Cafe with Rob Mayo. Very much looking forward to those shows. So Detroit, Toronto, come on out. Go to legionofskanks.com for all my other like Fox News gigs and all that shit. And check out Part of the Problem right here on the Gas Digital Network. All right, Lewis will be back next week. Peace.
That's all, folks.